What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Drive for Show DFS for Dough here on Roto Grinders. The week after the Masters, always a little bit of a letdown factor in play after perhaps the most exciting tournament of the year. But Scottie Scheffler took down yet another tournament with his Masters victory on Sunday. A couple guys had a shot maybe to hunt him down on Sunday, but Scheffler proving just to be too much, even, you know, without his A-plus game throughout the week. He did miss a couple short putts. I mean, he left a few strokes out there, but still able to comfortably coast to another green jacket. Just goes to show you how far ahead of the field he seems to be these days, and a well-deserving major victory for him. So we'll recap that here briefly. And to help do that, of course, you have myself, Justin Van Zuiden, and Mr. Derek Farnsworth, a.k.a. Notorious, alongside as usual. Noto, how was Masters week for you?
Yeah, awesome Masters. I'm sad that it's over. But yeah, a lot of fun. Had an outright on Scotty, so I was sweating that on Sunday. It kind of felt like the only thing that could hold him back from winning was his wife going into labor. There was a lot of chatter about that throughout the weekend. But, yeah, I felt like we had a pretty good show. You brought up, you know, Bryson, Morikawa. They both finished in the top six. You know, I said just lock Scotty until he gives us a reason not to. And I guess we'll talk about that this week here in a bit. But, yeah, Tiger made the cut. That was a lot of fun to sweat. Bryson doing Bryson things. I mean, from printing his own irons to picking up the sign, the master sign, and carrying it so that he could hit his shot. He's just a character. I kind of miss some of these live guys. But yeah, great week overall. How about you?
Yeah, I had perhaps my best golf player pool that I've had maybe in about 6 or 8 months. Only had two players miss the cut. Would have actually been better for me if the cut didn't get to plus six, because I only had one player that was in that big mix in my entire player pool. So I was a little disappointed that it got to plus six, but was winning pretty much in the five figures most of the weekend. Didn't break right. I had a lot of Morikawa. I had a lot of Scheffler. I was about even with the field on Scheffler. I didn't have any Homa. Didn't have any Fleetwood. And he made a run on Sunday. Didn't have any Xander just for ownership reasons in my GPP pool. So a couple of the guys that had good Sunday rounds didn't break the best for me. So it felt a little hollow at the end of the week. I think I walked away with about a $600 or $700 profit. But when you're seeing, you know, most of Sunday, I was staring at, you know, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, and then kind of watched it whittle away there late Sunday afternoon. But always fun to have a sweat, especially when it's the Masters. You know, couldn't get those last six or seven holes to hang on to the big money anyway.
Yeah, you sent us a picture of your player pools looking real good heading into the Sunday. So you keep being on the right track. Feels like you're getting real close to a big win. Did you happen to do the made cut parlay that we cooked up in the Discord?
I did do that. So we got the plus six was good for the made cut parlay that we did in the Discord. So I contributed to that. And by the way, I put Morikawa in there, and there was a person that gave me a thumbs down on that. So I'm going to have to hunt that person down, because Morikawa darn near competed to win the tournament. So, but yeah, that was pretty good. And like you mentioned, we had some pretty good recommendations on the show last week, and Team RG with producer Devin and you and myself swept the three paying spots. Wow. In the 12-man snake draft. It was all Team RG with the snake draft payouts last week. So, you know, it was all going our way.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, we thought we were dead in the water when it came to the cut sweat. Siwoo Kim, at the time, we thought it was going to be plus four. And Siwoo Kim had a five-footer to get in at plus four, three-putted to get to plus six. So we thought we were definitely dead. And then I can never imagine, you know, that many things breaking our way there in the afternoon for it to get to plus six. I think the Data Golf had it at 0.01% chance of giving to plus six. So a lot of fun to sweat. Any other thoughts? I thought Max Homa was great, other than he played a little conservative, especially on 13. He talked about not being able to hit driver very comfortably there. So he laid up, you know, every day, but kind of feels like you hit driver, and even if you hit it in the trees, you just punch out to the layup spot, same spot you'd be hitting your layup from the fairway anyway. But
yeah, and if you happen to hit a bomb down the fairway, maybe you can go for it. But I don't know. I watched a lot of my guys hit it in the water over the course of the week trying to go for it. But yeah, I mean, it was it was surprising to me. It wasn't surprising that the course played so hard on Friday because the wind was expected. I was surprised it played as hard as it did on Saturday and then played a little bit easier on Sunday. We saw some rounds that really we hadn't seen the rest of the week. Tom Kim shot a 6-under round on Sunday. Kurt Kitayama, 4-under, had quite a few guys at 3-under. Fleetwood, Zalatoris, Hatton, Keegan Bradley, Minwoo Lee, Jason Day, a lot of guys shot 3-under on Sunday. So I think you can get some guys that maybe take some momentum from that final round at Augusta and, you know, parlay that maybe into some better results here this week. We'll talk about some of those guys here during the show. But other than that, you know, just another win for Scotty, and you really didn't feel, you know, after the first 7 or 8 holes on Sunday. Yeah, I think it got, you know, tied, maybe a 3-way tie there for a hole or two, but you really still felt like he was in control and most of the way.
And not me, not somebody with an outright on him. He came out, his first 3 irons, one was short. The next 2 were way over the green. His short game was saving him early. And then by the time he hit number 9, I think that's kind of when everything started going his way, almost holed out. And then, you know, you had Morikawa and Oberg, both hit it in the water on 11. And then like 2 minutes later, Homa hit it into the bush on 12. And it kind of felt like after that, there was nobody catching him.
Yeah, so another win, of course, for Scheffler. And we mentioned Baby Watch. I'm surprised he hasn't withdrawn this week. His wife is due with their first child. He basically has said whenever that happens, he's out, even if it happened during the Masters. So that due date is coming even closer. As of now, he's still in the field for this week. And it is very weird to see another elevated event the week after a major. So that's why we've got another strong field assembled this week for the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. Because normally the week after a major, you'd see a pretty watered down field, but another elevated event this week. And yeah, that feels a little weird.
Yeah. I like this event a lot. Don't like that it's the week after the Masters. Don't like that there's only 70 golfers in the field. Don't like that there's no cut this week, but I do like the course. So excited to talk about it. And at least with the signature event, we're getting a lot of the big names teeing it up.
Yeah, for sure. I really like this event as well, and like following. I think this course is very watchable on TV broadcasts and stuff when they happen to be showing the golf shots. So any other takeaways from the Masters before we turn our attention there?
I had so much I wanted to talk about, and now it's been, you know, 2 whole days, so I can't remember.
Slowly escapes the brain after a while.
Yep. Did you see the amateur when they asked him about Tiger?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. It was it's like he was looking for an answer from a higher power.
Yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, Tiger came through for me. Just needed 2 rounds for him. I told everybody, don't play him in DFS. Don't bet him top 40. Just
that's all you got from him was 2 rounds.
Yeah, that's all I needed. Finished dead last after that.
Yeah, it was a made cut for Tiger Woods, and certainly plenty of carnage out there. I mean, Sunday played a little bit easier, but you had guys like, you know, finishing 8 over on Sunday. Danny Willett, who was up there for a little while on Thursday, shot 6 over on Sunday. So always going to be some high scores and some carnage at Augusta, even when the wind isn't blowing. So always a fun tournament, but time for us to look ahead. We both mentioned that we really like watching Harbortown, and we've got a fine, even though it's a limited field, star-studded field this week. So what do we need to know about the course itself?
Yeah, so I like Harbortown because it's short, but it's also difficult. Most of the short courses on the PGA Tour, really easy, turn into birdie fest. This one, not so much. It's a Pete Dye design. Like all of his courses, you can't really overpower it off the tee. You can see a lot of less than driver holes. I think the average driving distance here was like 275 last year, so like 30 yards less than we typically see at most events. A lot of dog legs. And you have to hit on the right side of the hole, so there's a lot of overhanging tree limbs. So, yeah, again, off the tee, just not that important this week. Just get it in play. Rely on the rest of your game. The green's very small, 3,400 square feet on average. I think the only smaller greens are pebble. So going to have a lot of missed greens, going to have a lot of scrambling. We've seen guys like Spieth, Webb Simpson, those types have a lot of success here over the years. So for the most part, I'm looking at everything but off the tee, maybe a little bogey avoidance, maybe good drive percentage if you do want to look at something off the tee. But yeah, what are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm fine looking at like total driving, good drive percentage, something like that. I do think scrambling takes on some importance this week with the small greens. You are going to miss some of them. So that guys who can get up and down, I think that has some value this week as well. Otherwise, pretty much in agreement with the points that you outlined there. And again, we've had this tournament for a while. It used to be a full field, you know, normal cut event. So if you're looking at course history, you know, just note that it used to be a full field event. And that this year we have the, I think the field's at 69 or 70 right now with no cut. It's not like some of the other elevated events where they still cut it to top 50 in ties, where half of my player pool still managed to miss the cut for a couple of those weeks. We have officially no cut this week. So with that in mind, we can start going through the player pool. And I mean, it's fascinating discussion this week because Scheffler's all the way up to $13,300 on DraftKings. We mentioned the baby is on the way, and that he's going to leave basically whenever that happens. It is their first child, and you know she's due basically at the end of April. He could just decide to punt it anyway because he just won the Masters. I mean, you won the Masters, you got a baby coming, you're human. I know that Scheffler, you know, it sometimes seems like he might be a robot, but to me, I think this just becomes really fascinating because of the price bump, the no-cut format, and the withdrawal risk for both of the reasons that I just mentioned. But yet, last week, you know, your point remained, play Scheffler until he gives you a reason not to. He still hasn't really given us a reason not to, other than the fact that he might be out of the tournament for if his wife goes into labor. So what do we do with Scheffler?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty easy. So cash games, single entry, small field stuff, I'm not playing him because most weeks if you get a WD and the 6-6 percentage is low, you can still grind out him in cash, something like that, maybe cash and double ups. That won't be able to – you won't be able to do that this week with no cut because everybody's going to be playing four rounds. But in MME, if he's going to stick below 20%, I'll just play 40% of him in my MME builds. Look for that upside. You know, you're not really worried about the floor when it comes to MME anyway. So, yeah, I mean, if we get the best golfer in the world coming off of 3 wins and 4 starts, 15%, sign me up for that in large field stuff. But I think he's too risky to play another contest.
Yeah, I tend to be maybe even a little too risk averse in these scenarios. And I just don't want that WD this week. So I'm probably out. But, again, that's just – me being a little bit more risk averse.
Did you see his first stop when he got home was at the bar? I don't know if it's his first stop, but yeah, straight to the bar. So maybe he's playing this narrative up for the media.
There you go. Could be. But if that keeps everybody off the scent, I guess, in DFS, all the more power to those that stick it out and play him. So you kind of got to come to your own determination on what you want to do with Scheffler. Obviously, from a golf perspective, he's in contention pretty much every time he plays. So you can decide for yourself whether the salary and the withdrawal risk is worth it. So let's say we're not going there. I mean, it's tough to get Scheffler and another top tier guy simply from a salary perspective. Like if I try to play Scheffler and Schauffele, I mean, you're down to 6,400 per golfer. And we don't have anybody in the 5Ks this week. So it's just really tough to do. So let's say you're not playing Scheffler. We've got five other golfers above 10K. Rory at 11-2. Schauffele, Oberg, Cantlay, and Morikawa right at 10K. Do you have a favorite pivot there?
I want no part of Rory. Bad course history. Bad form. He's made like 7 starts on the PGA Tour. He has 1 top 19 finish. That was in Texas the week before the Masters. Now we have all these live rumors floating around that he's getting $850 million to leave. So I think there's just so much going on with Rory that I don't want to play him. Alexander, just one of those guys. His game translates everywhere. 7 top 10s in his last 9 starts. T4 here last year. So he's probably the most logical option above 10K. But, man, Ludwig, he is so steady, so calm. He did not miss a putt at the Masters. I was sweating that him more than anyone else when it came to my Scotty outright last week. He just is so good, and he's been good on short courses, long courses, doesn't really seem to matter. So those would be my favorites. I mean, Cantlay just hasn't been in good form. He is a Pete Dye guy. He has a lot of good finishes here. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe Morikawa. I mean, you're the Morikawa whisperer, so interested to hear your take on him.
Yeah, I like Morikawa a good bit. I mean, it's not like it was a heartbreaking, you know, last minute L last week, right? He ended up finishing 7 shots back, tied for third. I mean, he was pretty much dialed in with most of his game all week. Faded a bit there at the end on Sunday, but I think it's a good course for his game. When he gets it rolling, I mean, we haven't seen him in tip-top form. We're not seeing super high ownership for that reason. And I think coming off a week that should build him some confidence. You look at his history at this event. He's played here 4 times. He's made the cut every time. Again, this was a full field event in the past. Doesn't have a lot of high finishes in there. Did have a T7 back in 2021. So, yeah, I like Morikawa this week. I think it's fine to go back to that well at 10K. A little bit of a discount from the other top guys. With you on, I think I'm out on Rory at this stage. So I think it's the other 3 for me. And I think Morikawa, or, well, I guess there's 4 there, but Morikawa would be my favorite of the bunch.
Yeah, I like it. Good course fit for him too. Accurate off the tee, good iron player. We got Dan Kramer in the chat, says he lives in Hilton Head. So if you have any tips, any boots on the ground takes for us, let us know. And then Candace Reynolds says, $850 million? Yeah. I was actually looking up Rory's net worth last night when that rumor came out. What would you guess his net worth is right now?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. So $850 million was the rumor for the LIV?
Yeah.
I mean, you think if you win a tournament, right, what do you – the average PGA Tour event, couple million – certainly he's got a ton of endorsements and things like that. I mean, I have no idea, but I'd throw out maybe 100 million, something like that.
It's not bad. 170, which is a little bit lower than I thought it would be. So he could immediately 5x his net worth if that the rumors were true, which is kind of crazy.
170 is what the calculator says right now anyway.
Yep.
No, I mean, you know, 170 million, 850 million. What's the difference?
it's true. He already talks about, you know, he doesn't use half the rooms in his house already. So who needs more
first
rooms?
World problems right there. It's as I've got junk exploding from some of mine. Yeah, I'm with you though. I think he's the easy pass here, especially at the premium salary. Anything else above 10K? Otherwise, you can start hopping down to that next tier there. We've got a lot of guys, Fleetwood, Homa, Fitzpatrick, all in there. Zalatoris as well had pretty good weeks last week.
Yeah, let's dip to the 9Ks. I see a lot of people bet Fleetwood this week. I certainly get it as somebody that's bet Fleetwood like 40 times over the last few years, but I've wasted enough money on him on bets. I like him in DFS. Another one of those guys, good short game, good iron player, back-to-back top 15s here. Probably won't be playing Homa. A lot of his results this year have been short game, thanks to the short game. And, you know, in contention at the Masters, kind of had a, you know, not the finish he was hoping for. So I'll probably be off of him. Going to be off of Spieth with the wrist issue, the miscut last week. I think it's an interesting spot for Wyndham Clark to bounce back. You know, he made those comments about LIV being 54 holes, and then he came out and missed the cut at the Masters. But I mean, he didn't have to grind out, you know, 2 extra rounds, you know, on that difficult course to walk on in those conditions. He's one of those guys that if you look at his signature events, he won Pebble, 2nd at API, 2nd at the Players. So he seems to get up for these events. I think he's a good bounce back spot at 9,200. He also won one of the Carolina courses last year at Quail Hollow. So I like him quite a bit. And then Zalatoris, I'll play him anytime we get, you know, a non-easy course. I think he's certainly in line for a good finish. So those would be my favorites in the 9s.
Yeah, I don't mind Zalatoris as well. I'm going to keep going back to Fitzpatrick. Obviously, he has talked about how much he loves this course, won here last year, and the good results keep on coming since he fixed his driver issues. So did fade a bit as well on the weekend at Augusta, but still with that top 25 finish. So I think this range is intriguing, particularly if you don't like 10Ks. You know, I don't have a strong take against really a whole lot of them, except obviously Spieth, who I'm fine just not playing right now. Fine with the bounce back angle on Clark if you want to do that, and fine with Zalatoris as well. But Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, I think they're all fine. And, you know, we usually go stars and scrubsy in these no cut events. But I think this week, if you wanted to start in the 9Ks and build, we might see a little bit more variance this week as well, with it being the week after a major. So I don't think the balanced approach is a bad thing. And I think you, if I remember right, you wrote that up in one of your survey questions this week.
Yeah, I love the 8Ks. I think I'm going to have 3 or 4 guys from the 8Ks in my main lineup. So probably means maybe one guy in the 9s and then a bunch of 8s and 1-7, something like that. So I do like the 8Ks quite a bit. I just don't know how much win equity is up top. I mean, any of those guys could win, but I could see anybody from 8K to 9,800 win too.
Well, if he doesn't withdraw, the win equity is about 60% Scheffler and 40% everybody else right now. Kidding, I guess, a little bit, but a little tongue-in-cheek there. But let's go ahead and move into those 8Ks. You mentioned liking a lot of these guys. Finally got on the right side of the Cameron Young train, had a good week. Finau kind of imploded on the weekend. You've got good ball strikers like Henley and Connors. Justin Thomas, talk about imploding. Even though the cut got to +6, he still didn't make the cut.
2 years in a row. He moved it himself.
Incredible. Incredible. Justin Thomas, 7 over on his last 4 holes. Unfathomable stuff. Maybe the caddy wasn't the problem. Anyway, what do you like? You mentioned liking a lot of guys in here, starting your balanced builds, getting a couple guys from this 8K range. So what are you thinking?
So yeah, we joke about JT. I do like him in tournaments. He's not my favorite play in this range, but when you just look at the skill set, he's good with his irons. He's good around the green. And then if you zoom out just a little bit, he's finished T12 or better 6 of his last 10 starts. I know it's been bad the last 3, but prior to that, he was really good. I like Cam Young. I was looking at this yesterday. He's had 7 runner-ups and 2 third-place finishes in his PGA Tour career. Still doesn't have the win. I think it could come this week. I like him anytime we get a course that requires a lot of mid to long irons. And last year, 44% of approach shots were hit from 150 to 200. So I think it sets up really well for him. He almost won here in 2022. I like Shane Lowry. He lost more than 8 strokes putting last week. If he wouldn't have just, even with the field, he would have been top 10 at the Masters. Another one of those guys that loves the course. 3 top 10s here in his last 5 years. I like Corey Connors. He hasn't missed a cut since last June. He's been a top 35 machine at this course. So, and then I like Russell Henley, 8,100. Another one of those guys, kind of fits the Spieth, Webb Simpson, Matt Kuchar type at this course. So, yeah, I like everybody in the 8s pretty much.
Yeah, I don't think I can get there with Thomas right now. I think he's going to have to clear quite the mental hurdle to kind of get over last week.
Yeah.
I haven't played him in a while now, though, so... I don't know. I'll probably miss the boat getting back on him at the right time, but I'll give it another week, see how it goes. Agree with the thoughts on a lot of the other guys in here, though. Connor's always one of my favorites on these courses that prioritize ball striking. Agree with your thoughts on Young. Think he's a really good tournament play as well. Probably out on Finau after, you know, we just haven't seen the upside from him as much lately, and probably out on Thomas, but I agree on a lot of those other guys in that range.
Are you playing Sam Burns? Do you play Burns and Scheffler together with the baby narratives?
I don't know. Burns hasn't been playing very well. I'll sprinkle Burns in some GPPs. But
do you think Scheffler, like, he seems like a really good guy. He's probably going to be there a lot for his kid. Do you think that can take away from his golf game a little bit? Maybe that's the only thing that can slow him down.
Or maybe it just gives him so much clarity on life that he gets even better.
I mean, he's got enough of that. His press conferences, they're tough to listen to. I like him as a golfer. But man, his clarity is just not very relatable to the average person.
It's not for sure. Good problem to have, I guess, if you're Scotty. Burns, I think, is okay in GPPs, but not a must by any means. And my hot take on the Masters survey for Showdown was that Siwoo Kim was going to have the only bogey-free round on Sunday. And he made it to 13, and then he went for it in 2, and he hit the water. And Siwoo Good at the Masters, Siwoo, who snuck in backdoored through the cut line that we talked about earlier. Had a decent round there on Sunday, 2 under, but couldn't quite get that bogey-free round. I don't think I'm on him this week, but he gets a lot of bad rap for being way too inconsistent, but he actually hasn't missed a cut yet this year. So anything else?
And he's got 2 wins on Pete Dye courses.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. He's the Pete Dye guy. So I can maybe be talked into it. We'll see. I haven't made a final call on him yet. So he's right there at 8K as well with a good Pete Dye history and a pretty good start to the year. So pretty good finish last week when you consider that he was maybe on a plane out of town after an early tee time on Friday and then that collapse on the last hole before backdooring his way through the cut. And then a good Sunday round all the way up to a T30 when it was all said and done. So, all right.
JT's fantasy points per game, 66.6. Demonic. Can't be good.
Can't be good. Totally.
Maybe he'll go up after this week. Probably not.
All right. Let's go into the 7K range here. And again, with a fairly deep field here, you got Benny On, Jason Day, Brian Harman, Denny McCarthy, Bhatia, who won a few weeks ago. Chris Kirk had a decent week at the Masters, T16 for him, and plenty of other guys in the 7K range. What are you looking at in here?
Don't love this range quite as much as the 8s, but a couple guys. I like Denny McCarthy, you know, made the cut at the Masters in his debut. I thought that was pretty good for a guy that doesn't fit the course that well. Nearly won in Texas the week before. And I think this course really sets up well for him. So I like him at 78. Don't have a strong take on Harman or Bhatia, Kirk. I'll play some Poston. He's been really good here in the past. And I like Cibes. He's the most expensive guy that didn't play the Masters last week. So he's coming in with, you know, fresh legs, coming off of some good finishes, 3 straight top 25s, really good iron player, really good short game, 3 top 35s at this course. I think he's probably, I said, my favorite play in the sevens.
Yeah, and there's only like 15 guys, I believe, in this field that did not play last week. So obviously, if you're looking to fade everybody who played at the Masters, you're not going to be able to do that unless you're leaving a whole bunch of salary on the table. But certainly some interesting names in here. I mean, the first guy that stood out to me, and obviously it's not because of the recent history. It just hasn't been good. But did you ever think we'd see Sung J.M. all the way down to like 7,300 again?
It's wild. I mean, I know it's a good course fit for him. A lot of people have talked him up. He's actually
I don't think I can do it. Go ahead.
He's in our top 40 parlay. So this week we couldn't do a made cut parlay in the Discord. So we had to do a top 40 parlay. So I'll be rooting for a top 40, but hopefully nothing much higher than that.
He was one of the two guys I had that missed the cut last week in my player pool. The other was DJ. So I just can't do it with Sungjae right now. If I'm going to play somebody that has kind of fallen from top tier form, but still has in theory some top tier upside, I'll go for that. I mentioned earlier the hot Sunday round at the Masters, maybe parlaying that into some success. Tom Kim with that 6 under round on Sunday, maybe he found something. He's 7,400. So give me Tom Kim at 7,400 as kind of my GPP guy. If you want to play the short game angle, I don't hate JT Poston as well. But otherwise, kind of in agreement with Noto that this range is a little bit weaker, to where maybe you try to stay with that balanced build up in the 8Ks, or you know, you just go down into the sixes to get your last guy, because really there isn't a huge drop off there. So anything else above 7,000 that you want to mention?
Taylor Moore is going to be popular. He hasn't missed a cut this year. T11 here last year. Cam Davis is going to be popular. Nice finish at the Masters, 3 straight top 25s here. So if you're looking for like form and course history, those two make a lot of sense, but they are going to be very popular. Outside of that, I'll play some Shank. He's just been solid all year. Data Golf has Brendan Todd as the number one course fit in this field for this place. And you know, he didn't play last week, coming off a couple top tens recently. I don't mind him. Then probably nobody until we get to the sixes.
All right. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of guys in that range either. I think the sixes are somewhat interesting. You can, again, I'll play the hot Sunday round at the Masters. I think Kitayama is an interesting proposition as a value choice this week. He's down there in the sixes. We've got some guys that have kind of fallen back a little bit after a hot stretch, like Eric Cole. What are you looking at in the 6Ks?
Man, Lucas Glover feels way too cheap. Number one in good drive percentage in this field. Top 10 iron player. He's gained around the green in 8 of 10. And he's probably the worst putter in the field. But we're not gonna focus on that. These greens are really small, so you can't really three-putt them because they're so small, right?
That's right.
That's at least what I'm telling myself. So I like Glover, 6,800. I like Gerrit Cole. I keep going back to him. I mean, he hasn't played great recently, but his only weakness is off the tee. So if he can get everything else going, I think it's a good course for him. After that, I don't really love anybody until we get down to Putnam, maybe at 6,400.
Yeah, obviously not a strong range down here when you're dealing with a super strong field. But, I mean, somebody like Webb Simpson, you've seen some success here in the past. Noto's boy Toasty, who was in the mix a few weeks ago and then missed the cut in incredible fashion with a plus 10 the tournament after that. You know, it is a no-cut format, so maybe you can take a shot, but I don't really like taking guys, you know, like Knapp, who rely on the driver. Just doesn't make sense on this course. Woodland, I'm probably not playing right now. You know, I think you can make a case for somebody like Webb or somebody like Putnam or Ekro, but probably not a whole lot of lineups where I'm going to go below 6,700. I think Pavon as well at 7K is a strong tournament option. I was, you know, kind of missed the boat on him when he had the win and the T3. But then had a fifth on the DP World Tour a few weeks back, and then pretty steady last week at the Masters, T12. So still at 7,000. I think he's a decent name that you could consider if you're looking for somebody in your player pool. And then Jaeger, another name that I don't mind, right above 7K that I didn't mention at 7,200. So anything else in the sixes or anywhere that we've forgotten?
Maybe McKenzie Hughes. So he's a short game guy, but he's been really good ball striking the last month or so. So he's got bad course history, but he plays here every year. Other than that, let's get into the snake draft.
Absolutely. The most exciting time of the week, the snake draft, where we need some of you guys to kind of knock off Team RG here. It's been Noto's cashed, I believe, 3 times in a row. It was a sweep of Noto, me, and producer Devin with the 1, 2, and 3 spots in the snake draft last week. So we need, now that Dan Kramer's back, we're stepping up our game. We need all you guys to step up yours as well. All right. Let's see here. For some reason, I can't find the snake drafts on DraftKings. Are there none?
Yeah, there are.
Perhaps I need to refresh. There it is. I was having an issue there. Okay, snake draft, and then we'll coordinate everything here. All right, there's a $5 six-man that is empty at the moment, so I will be the first person in there. And if you are not interested in sticking around for the snake draft, of course, we'll bid you adieu for the week. But a couple notes. Again, be sure to check out rotogrinders.com. You can get yourself a combo premium at a pretty good deal right now. And then also, don't forget, we are partnering with Betsford Golf for their rabbit hole tool. It has some really cool stuff for golf research. So be sure to check out those resources. If you are watching us live on YouTube, or on playback on YouTube, you can hit that thumbs up button anytime. We certainly do appreciate that, and hope you can catch us back here next week. So we will say goodbye to those of you who are exiting.